This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Dobank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
Joining me on the Jodcast today is Maria Del Mar Rubio from the Astrobiology Centre in Madrid. Hello and welcome to the Jodcast.
Hello.
And you work on stellar winds in massive stars. Can you start off by telling me what do you mean by a massive star?
Well, massive stars are stars with stellar masses above the 10 solar masses. So they are the most massive stars.
And these are, if you were looking in the sky, would these be the big blue stars that you see?
Because they have high luminosities. When you look at the sky, sometimes you can see blue star, very bright blue star. So yeah, you can see it by eye.
So these are the type of stars that you work on. And these stars have a stellar wind. Can you please tell me a bit more about the winds of these stars?
One of the most characteristic thing in massive star is that they have a very strong winds. Okay, like a storm, you can imagine a storm. Very hot. So this is the stellar wind in massive star. But the point is that the velocity range between 100 until 2,000 kilometers per second.
So these are very, very fast winds then for these stars.
Yeah.
And how much mass per year do they typically lose? Oof.
Typical
range?
The typical range for massive star, because all stars, all kind of stars, lose some solar mass. But for massive star, the range is from 10 to the minus 8 to 10 to the minus 4 solar mass per year.
So they're losing a lot of mass.
A lot. But it's logical because the mass of this star are very high. The lowest massive is only 10 solar mass, okay? But the highest right now is like 115 solar masses. The most massive star, the higher mass loss.
The more massive stars, that mass loss won't seem as drastic to a small mass star like our sun.
Yeah.
How do you measure the speed of these winds or the mass of the winds?
To speed the velocity of this wind, a standard way is to measure lines, emission lines.
In the spectra?
In the spectra. So you take a spectra. It's depending of the wavelength range. You can observe in optical or in infrared. And then you measure the broad of the line. And well, you can do a little calculation and technical stuff. And you can get velocity of the winds. For the mass loss rate of the star, it's quite similar. But you can use, in this case, you can use line emission in the spectra or continuum emission. And if you use a line emission and you use a spectra, the best way to do that is to use a model and overplot, in simple words, is overplot to your spectra and change the stellar parameters of the star. Then you can find the mass loss rate. So,
and do different lines tell you about different bits of the star?
Yeah, but this is a new thing. Well, new,
It's relatively new.
Yeah, it's because we discovered that depending on the wavelength, you can find different things. So you can study, the different region of the wing if you look at different wavelength range. So if you want to know something about the inner part of the wing, then you can use normally the far ultraviolet range or optical. But if you want to know something about the outermost wing, then you can use the radio wavelength.
So the longer the wavelength, the further out from the star.
Yeah, this is the idea.
And you can tell lots of information. You've been studying clumping in winds.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what is clumping?
The simpler words is clumping is like a small ball of material in the wing. I mean, when you are doing your breakfast and you put chocolate or cacao in your milk, you cannot dissolve perfectly, no? So the idea is exactly the same. The massive star loss mass, but is not homogeneous. So then you have a little balls of material in the wind.
So previously, before your work, everyone used to assume that it was all the same in the wind. It was like a spherical ball.
Well, you know, all in physics, every theory in physics, you know, is oversimplified, okay? So the best theory to explain the wind is they use, you know, the homogeneous wind. So the idea is, yeah, we can think that it's homogeneous, but the reality is...
These clumps.
It's clumps. So we have to change it.
And what do clumps have an effect with the models that say it's homogeneous compared to models with clumps?
The evidence says that the current mass loss rates are overestimated.
So if you factor in clumping, then the mass loss rate will be less than what you were thinking it was.
Well, it depends which kind of massive star you have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not one big massive star.
No. It's depends of which kind. It's depends how strong is the wing. It's depends of a lot of things.
So do you look at one star in particular, or are you looking at many stars?
I look in different kind of massive star. So I study super giants, and World Rayet and LVV, also very young high mass stars and dwarf massive star, because we have a completely different problem in all dwarf stars. So it's not simple.
It seems very interesting. And how are you looking at clumping? Are you using optical wavelengths? Are you using infrared?
The proper way to do that is look at all the wavelengths. And so this is very complicated. The good thing is we have archive data. So if we don't have, you know, any region of the wing, we can apply for observing time and try to complete the R sampling. So the best way to do that is the whole
wavelength.
Because our knowledge of the clumping in the whole wing is much better.
Does clumping occur near to the star, near its core, or does it occur in the outer layers, near in the longer wavelengths?
The clumping is the result, okay, of the combination of mass loss and velocity. So it's not that the clumping started at some point in the star. It's a combination. But some studies conclude that the Rayet stratification of the clumping decreases with the wavelength. I mean, it's higher, you know, the clumping is higher in the inner part of the wing than in the outer part of the wing. But it's not for all the stars. So this is the problem.
Okay, well, I wish you best of luck with your research, and thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you.